Well, we're on our series, What is God Like? And I read a little story this week, and I liked it, so I'll share it with you. It's about a little boy, and this little boy one night was in the kitchen with his mom, and his mom was busy doing stuff, and she said, go out on the back porch and get the broom. And the little boy kind of walked to the screen door, and he looked out there, and he hesitated. He didn't do anything. And she finally said, go get the broom, go get the broom. And he said, I don't want to get the broom. It's dark out there and I'm scared. His mom said, you don't have anything to be scared about. It's okay. Jesus is out there. He'll protect you. The little boy went over and he looked out. And then he said, are you sure he's out there? And she said, yes, I'm sure. He's everywhere. He will take care of you. The little boy thought for a little bit, and then he pushed the door open just a little, and he said, hey, Jesus, if you're out there, would you hand me the broom? In our lives, a lot of times, that's what we would like. We would like Jesus, when we're afraid, to hand us the broom to take care of everything, because we don't want to step out in the dark. Because sometimes stepping out in the dark is scary. But how many of you know Jesus doesn't hand us the broom all that often? Occasionally he does. But Jesus wants us to grow up to be able to walk outside in the darkness without being afraid. Because not just believing that mom says he's out there with us when we're in the kitchen, we got to believe it when we go outside in the dark. And so we're going to take a look today at God as our protector. And a lot of times people get confused when they think of God as their protector, because they think that God will protect them from everything in the world and from all circumstances and from any bad, evil thing. But Jesus prays not that God will protect us from evil, but from the evil one. And he doesn't pray to the Father that he will take us out of the world, because this is a fallen world, isn't it? And this is an evil world. And this is a decaying world. And if you've noticed anything about our country, it's not getting better. People are not becoming more honest, more giving. That's not the way the world is going. And Jesus didn't pray that God would take us out of that world, because we're not of it, but we are in it. And he wants us in the world. But he wants us in the world as a testimony to the fact that even though we're in the same circumstances and the same world that everyone else is, we're not of the world. We're in God's hands. And God protects us, and so we walk through the world differently. And because of who we are and because God is with us, he makes us a tool in which to change the world and to bring love into the world. And to do that, he's got to protect our hearts. Because if our hearts become full of fear, if our hearts become full of bitterness, if our hearts become full of jealousy, if our hearts become full of doubt towards God, we don't make the same choices, do we? We don't do the same things. We don't say the same things. We don't live the same way. We don't even try the same things without faith. I like this picture right here. It's a little baby sleeping. Obviously, this baby is not afraid. Psalms 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. You know, I thought of this picture because when I went and visited Ryan and Amy in the hospital and saw that baby, it was laying there kind of half asleep with this huge smile on its face. And I even asked Amy, I said, does that baby always look like that? I don't know, maybe it was just the way the face is. But then a little bit later, it cried and didn't look quite the same, but not anywhere close to the same, But when that child was smiling and that child was happy, that child was satisfied. That child was secure. That child was happy. Most of us who've been parents have experienced the fear of a child that didn't know what was going to happen when either a thunderstorm or a nightmare occurred, How many of you have had a child find its way to your bed terrified in the middle of the night? A lot of times of something that you don't have any control over either. But if he snuggles up next to you and you hold that little child, somehow because he's in your presence or she's in your presence, all of a sudden they relax and fall asleep because they know they're in the presence of their loving mother or father. And that's exactly what God wants to do with us. He wants to protect our heart so that we're not afraid and so that we're not at the bay of circumstances, but so that we are able to be safe and secure and make choices from a calm heart, choices that will honor him. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above what? All else. For it determines the course of your life. And God wants to protect your heart above what? All else. A lot of times people don't understand that God will allow some difficult circumstances into our lives because we have some attitudes that are not good that we don't even see. Sometimes God lets some difficult circumstances into our lives because we've got some idols in our life. Some things that we think about, some things that we care about, some things that we desire, some things that we make our choices based on other than him. And we don't even realize it. We're not sitting there thinking, I'm pushing you out of the way because this is more important. Sometimes, how many of you would agree, we're blind to the fact that we have some desires and some things that captivate our lives other than God. That if it were not for some difficult struggles in our lives, from some fear, some things that drove us to God, we wouldn't have ever dealt with them. We would have never grown up. We would have never gotten to the place where we could boldly walk out on the porch and pick up the broom. Because we were afraid to get out of the kitchen because it was comfortable. And we liked the food that was there. And the refrigerator and the microwave were in easy reach. So we wanted to live our lives in the kitchen and not get out and do some of the things that God wants us to do. You know, it's kind of funny. Perspective and our heart attitude is very important. Now, I'm not real computer savvy. I can do a few things on a computer really well, but if I have to go into something that is not what I always do, I'm completely lost. And sometimes I've got to find directions on Google Maps. Have any of you ever tried to do that? I mean, for you it may be easy. For me, I can't ever find what's going on because I find if I can get down where I can see the street, I don't know where the streets are at. And in order to find where I'm going, I've got to find the street, and then I got to slowly zoom out until I find some area around there that I know where I'm at. Because if I get down too close in that map, I get lost. I can see the details, but I don't know where in the world it's at. How many of you have trouble with Google Maps like that? It's so much easier if you can get... I need a 50-inch computer screen. Because my problem is when I zoom out far enough to see where I'm going, I'm out of the screen, right? I need one that goes forever so I can see the big picture and then look down at the details. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to not be disoriented when things come into our lives. Not let those negative emotions like fear, anger, bitterness, jealousy, disappointment. He doesn't want those things to control us and to have us start to look at life from a why me attitude. He wants us to look at life in the perspective of eternity. He is in control of our lives. He sees the big picture. He is not only working with the one instance that we are dealing with right now. He is working with our lives in total with the goal of making our hearts conform to the image of Christ and be Christ-like. And in order for us to grow up, we have to go through some tough times. We have to face some scary battles. And we have to learn with faith to overcome those. But God always has the goal of bringing us to a place where we become like Christ and we become fruitful and prosperous as Christians in this world, a light to those who are around us. And so we know that those difficult times at times will come. And the Bible tells us that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under pressure. Now, I want you to think of this verse a little bit deeper than probably most people do when they first turn to it. Because most of us, when we turn to it, we look on the shallow level of our choices and our actions. I'm tempted to do this. Help me not to do this. I want you to look a little deeper, not to what I'm tempted to do, but why I'm tempted to do it. Because God is looking deeper at just controlling the choices and the things that we do and our behaviors. He wants our heart in sync with Him. When our heart is in sync with Him, we find that that temptation lessens. It's not about just the things we're doing. It's about the sin itself. And sin itself really is rebellion towards God. It's saying, I don't want to listen to what you've got to say. I know what I want to do. I know what I want to experience. I know what my life is going, what I want it to turn out to be. I know what I want it to be. And so what I want to do is I want to choose my way out of this problem. I want to find an easy way of escape. I want to find something that I can understand. I want to be able to keep control in this situation. I want a way of escape so I can stand up to the pressure, that I can understand, that I can control, that I can see how it's going to work out. Well, how many of you have been in situations where that's not the way of escape God gives you when you're tempted? Because you know what God's goal is. God's goal is for us to turn to Him and say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't see how things are going to work out here, but you're telling me to do this. I'm going to do whatever you say. I'm going to depend totally on you. If you tell me not to defend myself, I'm not going to defend myself. If you tell me not to fight back, I'm not going to fight back. If you tell me to turn the other cheek, I'm going to turn the other cheek. If you tell me to give when someone has been taking from me, then I'm going to do it. I heard an interesting story a couple of years ago. Some of the guys from Men's Retreat might remember it, but it stuck with me. We had a guest speaker there, and he was talking about an instance that he had with a friend who was an author. He was also an author. But Arthur was there for this author story. And so what had happened is he was writing a book, and he had a contract with some people to do the research for the book, kind of as a ghost writer, which meant the other guy's name's going to be in the book, but he was really going to write it. Well, he had gathered all this material and done all this work, and then the guy said he didn't want to go forward. He didn't want to hire him anymore. He was not going to pay him for the work. He'd already sent him a bunch of it. He wanted the rest of it, but he was going to break the contract. And he was all upset and wanted to know, should he sue? What should he do? And the guy told him, I wish I could remember his name, I should know. But the guy told him, he said, well, what you should do is you should not sue him. What you should do is give him what he asked for and give him all the rest of the stuff that he didn't ask for that you've got. Give him everything. Give him more than what he asked. And he looked and he said, well, why should I do that? And he said, because that's what Jesus told us to do. And he thought about it for a little bit, and he did it. And I really can't remember the rest of that story, because that's the part, and Arthur shaking his head, he can't remember it either, but you remember that part, because what he was saying is this: I'm going to leave it all in God's hands. And I don't know what happened with that instance, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that guy took that stuff and he had been wronged and he suffered for Christ to show love. What mattered is this: he submitted to God. He did what God wanted him to do. And you know what? He didn't go bankrupt. His kids didn't starve. He didn't go homeless. God provided for him. And he had a clean heart. And God wants to protect us. And sometimes we don't always know how the way of escape that he provides for us is going to go. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. But when we take the way of escape that God gives us, it's now God's responsibility to work things out in our life, because we are depending on him. Satan wants to tempt us to depend on our own understanding, or as the Bible says, to lean on our own understanding. It makes no sense for me to give this up. It makes no sense for me to work 6 months and not get paid. It makes no sense for me to let someone get by with doing this to me. It makes no sense. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. Things in this world don't always work out. Here's the question. Am I going to do what God tells me to do, or am I not? Can I figure out a reason why there would be a better way than God's or not? If I'm trying to figure out a better way, then God is still working on me. But if my heart is dependent upon him and submitted to him, then I will be at peace. I will have joy. That guy worked 6 months and lost all the money he had worked across there, and he sent all that stuff to him, and you know how he felt? That's the one part of the story I remember. How do you think he felt? He felt good because he knew that he had done what God wanted, and God was now in control. When we don't do what God wants us to do, that's when all those emotions come up. That's when our emotional tank starts to get drained. Because now I got to worry about what's going to happen. When I have done what God wants me to do, he needs to worry about what happened. Because I've been faithful. When I didn't really do or check what God wanted me to do, I made the decision, I figured it out, and I did the best that I thought, but I know I haven't gone to see what God wanted, because I might be afraid he might tell me to go ahead and give him the work. That's when I start to get stressed. That's when I start to get depressed. That's when I start to feel like I'm not being treated right. That's when I start to get all of those emotions that wear me out. And life is not a joy. It is a stress and it is a strain. And the Bible tells us what we need to do when those things and those temptations come up. The first thing we need to do is draw close to God in prayer. And that means war. And we're not battling with the situation. If our prayers are centered on God changing our circumstances, then we haven't understood how to pray yet, have we? Because God is not concerned with those circumstances. I can lose my house, and how many of you know God can still take care of my family? God is not limited to the one thing I've got. God's not working on my portfolio for my retirement. God is working on my heart. My retirement is him. And his benefits are eternal. The Bible tells us we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. We are struggling with the temptation the devil has for us to cut our ties with God. We came here this morning and we sung about our utter dependence upon him. And if you were one who truly opened your heart and just let yourself go into God's hands in worship, then you felt him reach down and hold you and caress you. And it is a good feeling to know that you are in the presence of God and that you are God's child and that God is in control of your life. That Christ died for you. And that by paying that price, he is saying, there is no price that I will not pay for you. No one can snatch you from my hand. You are mine. I have paid with my own blood for you. And nothing can separate you from my love. Listen to me and follow me. I rose Christ from the dead. I'm going to be able to handle your boss. I'll be able to handle the teacher. I'll be able to handle whatever. You draw close to me. The second thing, after drawing close to God through prayer, is we have to draw close to God through his word. And really, this is just as important, maybe more important, Because the Bible tells us that God listens to the humble. His ears are open to their prayer. But it also tells us his face is hard against those who do evil. Those who reject him, those who will not obey him, those who will not listen to him but always want to find their own way and won't trust God to work in their lives. How many of you have noticed that some people's prayers are just continually answered and continually answered, and they have testimony after testimony after testimony that God is working in their lives? Some people seem to pray and pray and pray and never see God answer prayers. And it has to do some with whether or not they're listening. Here's what the Bible says. In James 4, 7 through 8, it says, "Therefore submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. That is a continual verse written to Christians, not to non-Christians. 1 John tells us that if we say we don't have sin, we're a liar, and we're calling God a liar. And we're not walking in the light. There are parts of my heart that I do not realize are not fully committed to Christ right now. There are areas in which I'm weak and I'm easily tempted by the devil, and I take over and I want control and I don't let God have his way. I don't even ask him what his way is. And the Bible tells us that when we get into these struggles, these are things that God is using to purify our faith. It's things that God are using to say, hey, submit to me. Don't worry about these circumstances. I'll take care of those after your heart is right with me. If you refuse to get your heart right with me, you're going to have more and more circumstances that will defeat you. If you get your heart with me, you're still going to have more and more circumstances, but they will be places of joy because of the victory that God gives us. So we have to purify ourselves. God's word is kind of like this. Ryan's got a new child at home. How many of you know his home is fixing to change? In a lot of different ways. And I'll tell you the first way that's the most aggravating for me when I was growing up, when I had kids that were young. You know, I want to plug that computer in, but I can't plug it in because guess what's in the outlet? One of those little plastic things that I can't ever see because I don't have fingernails to get out. How many of you have been just like that? But you know what? You can't have them off because the little kid's going to put his finger in there. So we're going to guard our house. We're going to guard our house. We're going to make it childproof. There's going to be a little gate that every time I go down the stairs, I got to open up and I got to close. There's those little hooks on the kitchen cabinet. When I want to get something out, it's like a major deal, and they call them childproof, but I think they're mailproof too. It's difficult. Have you ever been in a car when the childproof windows are on? Now, see, my wife drives, and I'm trying to get that window going, but it's protecting the child. And the locks? How come I can't get out of the car when I want? Thank goodness I don't have to sit in one of those safety seats. But you know what I'm talking about. God our Father is the same way. He is protecting our house we live in, which is this world. And he knows it's dangerous. And he knows there's a lot of places that could cause us harm. And so his word tells us all the time, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Do this, do this. This is what's safe. And when we listen to God's word and we obey God's word, we are submitting ourselves to God. I taught school for a long time. I got one of my former students that came here today. I could tell I'd seen her, but she's grown up so much. But I've seen him go from small to big. And I've taught elementary school, and I've taught middle school, and I've taught high school, and I've coached in college. And there's one thing that's similar of kids. You've got kids that know how to submit to authority and kids that don't. And the kids that don't, they just go do whatever they want. And you can say, hey, don't do this, don't do this, it's going to happen like it. And then whatever happens, happens. And then they turn around and you say, didn't you hear me? No. No. And you know what? Some of the times, they weren't listening. I could be talking to them as they're walking. And they're not listening because their ears are not open to an authority. We can't be like that with God. We can't be like that with God and expect to have the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, because we're not controlled by the Spirit. If we're not listening to God and obeying Him and submitting to His Spirit and letting His Spirit work in our lives, we're not going to have love, joy, and peace, because we're controlled by our own understanding. And we're going to have the works of the flesh coming out and the emotions that follow it. And so the question is when we look at things that happen in life, is our first question this: Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? What areas of my life can I grow in? You know, usually what we say is, what area of my life can my wife grow in? What area of my life can I influence someone else at work? But God wants us to purify our hearts. We resist the devil because what the devil wants us to do is to stop thinking about our relationship with God. He wants us to stop thinking about whether or not we are listening and obeying God. That's all the temptation is. It has a million forms, but that's what it is. And when we submit and we start thinking about our problems the way that the devil wants us to, which is as ourselves being our own God and trying to find our way out of him instead of submitting to God and letting him reveal his way out and what he's going to do, then we will not experience Christ. But when we draw near to God and we submit ourselves to him, when we listen to him and we apply what we hear, he draws close to us. And then the situation is always completely different. The third thing is we have to draw close to our church family. God created us to be the body of Christ. He created us because we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. Even though each one of us is responsible for our own burdens, he's put people in our lives to help us bear them. And we cannot surround ourselves with worldly people who have worldly thinking, who do not follow the Spirit of Christ, and expect their advice to lead us to God. It is why we surround ourselves with godly people who are connected to God, because all of us at times have a hard time knowing what to do in a tough situation. And we need people who will point us back to our relationship with God, listening and following him and trusting him to work when we act as he wants us to. I like this little list of things right here. It says, trust in his timing. Rely on his promises. Wait on his answers. Believe in his miracles. Rejoice in his goodness. And relax in his presence. This is exactly what it means when it talks about submitting to God and drawing close to him. God's timing is different from mine. If my time is right now, I have to have relief right now, I may be in trouble. His promises tell me that he will complete the work that he has begun in me, and that he will overcome everything in my life, including the power of death. One day I will see, when I see him work, why I had to go through those things. And God does work miracles. He searches to and fro throughout the whole earth in order to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. The question is my heart completely his? When my heart is completely his, I see God's miraculous work. And I can rejoice in his goodness, because in the midst of problems, he is good to me, and he always gives me what I need to go on. And then I can relax in his presence. And when I relax in his presence, God can do amazing things. I read this story this week also, and it was really interesting to me. There was a man named Ira Sankley, and I know none of you know who he is, because this story is about Christmas Eve in 1875. And in 1875, Ira Sankley was traveling on the Delaware River steamboat. And he was recognized because at that time he was very famous. He was the song leader for Dwight L. Moody, who I know you guys have heard of him. He was very great evangelist back at that time, and this guy was his song leader, and he was traveling on a vacation, and people recognized him, and they said, "Will you sing us a song? Sing us a song. Sing us one of the songs you wrote." He said, "No, I don't want to do that." He said, "I will sing you this song, though, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." And so he's out there on the deck of the boat, all these people around him, and he starts singing this song. And when he finishes, a man steps up, and he says, "Did you serve in the Union Army?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Well, do you remember in 1862 being on a post by a river on a really moonlit, lit night?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "I remember that because it was a really creepy area where you're set out there as a sentry and it's not dark. I mean, he's completely exposed. He's by the river." And he was afraid. And so he started to sing that same song. And the man said, "When I heard you singing, I came over because I recognized that song. You sang that same song that night." And he said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "I was on the other side of the river, and I saw you when you came out, and I got myself down and leveled my rifle on a stump so I'd get a good shot, and I prepared to shoot you. And just about the time I got ready to pull the trigger, you started singing. And I thought, I'll let him finish the song before I kill him. And as you sung that song, it brought back memories because my mother had sung that song. And as that song went on, I realized I was not going to be able to shoot you. Something inside of me was saying, leave that man alone. And I realized sitting on the other side of that river that if God is powerful enough to save your life through a song, he must be real. We never know what's going to happen when we submit to God. Sometimes we're in tough situations. Sometimes we're in dangerous situations. We are never without God. If our hearts are connected with him, you know how we respond? With praise, with joy. We respond in Christ-like manners, unaware of how God could use that, unaware of the power of his Holy Spirit. I wonder how many times God has saved our lives or has moved things in our lives that we were unaware simply because our hearts were his. God is good, and he protects us. We're not safe because of the absence of danger. Till we leave this world, you're going to be in danger. We are safe because of the presence of God. And that Spirit, when our hearts are his, we have put in control. Let's pray. Father, one thing is certain, that you are greater than everything else that our minds can conceive of. You created this world and you created us. There is no life that is not here because you have allowed it to breathe. You are in complete control, and your desires for us are good. You've proved that by coming to this earth when we were lost, for dying on the cross while we were yet sinners and enemies of yours. You paid the price for our sin. You showed us through your love that you will forgive and that you would give us that chance to come into your family through Christ. And we have given our hearts to you. And we want to walk with you in that same relationship, knowing that you are greater than all, that you love us, that you are in control, and whether we can see it or not, like a little baby, you have a purpose in everything that comes into our life, and if we will stay with you, you will work it to good. And many times, Lord, we have pushed away and we have not resisted the devil. We've yielded to temptations, and instead of letting you be God, we've tried to take over and control. And it's never worked out well. And so right now, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for all the things that we've said, that we've done, that we've thought, that we knew weren't pleasing to you, but we were just panicked. And we felt like we needed to move. And so we moved. And we ask you now to open our hearts to see you and let us wait. Let us just stop and give our hearts to you and look and see what you are doing. Let us listen to your word and be true to it. And see how the power of your Spirit makes it come alive. And how you miraculously work not only in us, but through us. Because we are your obedient servants, your obedient children. We are people who allow you to live through us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and fill our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.